Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
I was dozing off a little bit.
Wow. Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome to Astronomica, the most relaxing actual play podcast you'll listen to today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild that we usually manage to like achieve such a level of energy on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I just stay at this level of energy all the time.
Well, yeah, I believe you do.
Yeah.
You know, you are a, you know, mutant of some kind.
No, it's just meth.
The meth! That goddamn it! It's the meth.
Oh, welcome to Astronomica, a podcast fueled by meth.
Meth. Well, meth.
Amphetamines, generally, I think.
Yes, well, actually, that isn't non-humorously true for at least a third.
Yeah. Where would we be without amphetamine salts?
Except for me, I'm just naturally this bubbly.
Naturally bubbly.
Mm. Yeah, dear God, help us all.
If yeah. You... This is, it turns out, this whole project is an attempt to harness this energy and direct it other places.
Are you trying to say that you're the bubbly one at the table?
Colin, I think you would agree with me.
Fuck you. I'm the bubbliest. I've always been the bubbliest.
We're not talking about gas.
You know, you got me.
I'm just going to say, I don't think bubbly is how I would describe amphetamine users. So.
No.
No. Grindy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chewy. Yeah. Chompy.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of our better intros to the intro.
Clenchy. Yeah.
How you doing there, Cole? Well, I gotta say, it's kind of weird because as someone with ADHD, I used to be prescribed a medicine called amphetamine salts, basically. So, oh, yeah, no, weird. That's...
No, we are currently.
Yeah.
We're among friends.
My, like, literally, my medication, like, the prescription is amphetamine salts.
Mm-hmm. But it does, in fact, make me chompy, which is why I don't take it anymore, because it would make me grind my teeth. So, you know, I feel them. I have a kindred with the other kind of amphetamine salt users.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I was going to mention that probably a lot of us watched Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Thought that would be, you know, a nice little topic. I guess fuck, marry, kill the ghoul, the vault dweller, and the Brotherhood dude.
Oh.
Hmm. Obviously. Okay, I'll go last since I started with obviously. I want to see how obvious it is.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm. You gotta fuck Goggins. I mean, that's just, there's no two ways about it.
You could marry him.
Yeah, you could marry him. I was gonna marry him.
Nope, I cannot. I cannot bridle a wild Mustang. I must let its spirit roam free for others to sample.
Here's the thing, I'm into it. Like, he's gone most of the time, right? So you can do your own thing.
And, I mean, marry a vault dweller because, like...
They're in the vault.
They're in the vault. Like, they have clean water and, you know.
She got all them skills.
More than 400 calories a day. And
also,
yeah.
Also, well, not for nothing. She's really cute.
She is real, real
that
cute.
That kind of depends on the vault, though, right?
Oh, yeah. It depends on the experiment they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Yeah.
Well, that's why you marry the vault dweller from the show, because she also
no
has
spoilers.
A lot of. She also has a lot of martial skills. So if you get in the wrong vault, you could be the only two left.
Okie dokie.
With a whole vault's worth of stuff.
I think we've omitted talking about one character.
So you're killing the Brotherhood?
Yeah, he's a fascist. Like, Brotherhood of Steel, it's fascist.
I mean,
he's trying.
Organization.
He's from a fascist family.
Uh-huh.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm going to kill him. But, like, not because I think he's a fascist.
I mean,
because,
I would feel sad about it.
He's not as cool as Goggins or as hot as Vault Dweller. So, yeah.
If you marry him.
Sorry, dude. You lost. It was no fault of your own.
If you marry him and he dies, you inherit his stuff. And his stuff includes a suit of power armor.
I mean, that is kind of cool.
That shit's everywhere.
That's true. Can you double up on choices?
No, yeah. That's the whole point of... Oh, in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I'd fuck Mary. I'd marry kill.
I'd fuck kill the chicken guy.
Oh, God, the chicken guy! I will say, one of my favorite things that I hope they continue to do, and that I could actually stand there to be even more of, I could stand... Hey, this one was like, what, 8 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
It could be 10. They can add a little more bloat.
I will say that I feel like...
The characters that they encounter.
No spoilers, whatever. I feel like it was fucking 10 out of 10 until the last episode. I feel like it kind of dropped the ball in the last episode.
I have the opposite opinion.
Really?
I really liked how it ended. I think the like,
this was a very Neil Stephensonian ending.
Yeah. The humor of Fallout. I love Fallout. And the humor of Fallout is the thing I like least about it. So I ended up really liking the show for the comedy. Like, it was funny.
Yeah.
Which isn't how I was prepared to enjoy it.
I, being just, like, vaguely familiar with the games, like, enough to, like, I'm sure I didn't pick up on all of the Easter eggs, but, like, I got a lot of them. I really enjoyed the, I guess, turned up humor and sort of setting of it all.
Yeah.
I really liked the characters that they run into throughout. Like, there's people that they just run into, and you feel like their paths just, like, keep intersecting, and you're kind of getting a story of some of these background characters who don't have anything to do with anything, but it is neat to piece together what their story is.
Yeah.
I thought they also did a really good job with one of the big tropes of Fallout, which is finding computer terminals that allude to, like, really disturbing shit while also having office gossip on them.
I said on the Discord, I felt like, or no, I said somewhere else, but if there was a flaw, I think it was that it was too slavish to the video game's look.
Yeah.
And that,
I like the look.
I think that's most evident in, like, when the guy's hacking the computer and it's literally the hacking screen from the video game. Which is fine as a nod, but it was...
I thought all of that stuff did a very good job of, like, it has a visual stamp. Like, it has... There is no, like, mixing this up with a real projection of our real potential future. Yep. It is very clearly a fantastical creation.
I mean, and it's a minor quibble because I understand the constraints of making a show like this, but... you know, this is an open world sandbox that would fit on a 1.44 megabyte floppy. Like, everybody was like, all right, you're going to go find your father in the wasteland, and you're just going to wander like half a day in a random direction and find 9 people that are all intertwined with this plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I feel like the reason that I felt like it sort of dropped the way they paced it is that they introduced all of the just wacky shit that is Fallout in a way that you were like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then in the last episode, they accelerated the pace where I was like, this feels silly.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and... anyway, that's...
Or at least, I agree they accelerated the pace.
My prediction is that they're going to have pacing issues.
Sure.
In the same way
that
a lot of the big... Like, Game of Thrones had pacing issues. It was really slow. Every bit of travel was several episodes to a season long, and then suddenly everyone's where they need to be at the end. And that's the sense that I get overall.
I just want to say that while I feel like it's sort of like the last episode of the season wasn't, like, the best, that doesn't mean that I feel like the show sucks. It went from being like a 10 out of 10 to me to being like a 7.9 out of 10. So yeah, no, good. Where did they find a real human hamster hybrid to play her kid brother in the vault? That was amazing.
Oh, I kind of love him.
No, he's great, he's amazing, but yeah, he's clearly like they crossbred a human and a hamster, and they got that guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was
he really, I really liked the progression of that character through the series, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they give him, like, an incel vibe at first.
And yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then it turns out, like, he's actually a richly nuanced, like, character.
He doesn't care because he lives in a world where what the fuck is there to care about, but then when he finds something that is worth caring about and being interested in, he's all in.
Yeah.
And also...
That was really cool.
That is really cool. And, I mean, he starts out as basically a visual punchline, you know?
Yeah.
He's, like, her dipshit little brother that's obsessed with video games and turns out to be... a pivotal, sensitive character with agency. Like, I like it.
And avoiding spoilers, I will say the thing that the show did that I was really looking forward to and that it pulled off was that it finally explained a plausible reason that Vault-Tec was running social experiments on Vault Dwellers. Like, and it's a way that I don't think you could have had this explanation 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But now, like, it makes total sense, and I'll talk more about it off mic.
Okay, I was going to say, we have to have a conversation about that off mic, because I had questions. I was like, is this what the real lore is? Did they put this in? It's brilliant. It's a good reveal for the reasoning behind it.
And also, the main vault in the show is the most plausible vault in Fallout. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, as a motive.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
As science, it doesn't make sense. But
I'm going to add this one last little nugget. Eagle-eyed folks will see the map of where, when you get to where the map of all the vaults are, you'll notice there's a vault in Memphis.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So, guys, we got to find it. Yeah. And infiltrate.
I mean, under the long enough timeline, there will be a fallout set in the Delta. Oh. We probably won't live that long. Civilization probably won't last that long.
I can say in the Metro 67 building downtown on Front and Madison, I think, there is a huge-ass vault underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, we have a lot of vaults. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to end up in the same one so that we can overthrow whatever experiment is running.
No, so that we can just keep playing D&D.
And run our own experiment.
Oh, okay, sure.
The air quotes mean LARP.
Okay, dig. She was air quoting, so we'll LARP. I've never done that before, but I ain't proud.
And speaking of air quotes, we need to do some Patreon shout-outs.
Hey! Shout-out to our patrons, who include the following. Exactly 100 people.
Wow.
Damn.
Trey. I already can't read my screen. 1 second.
Trey, you got a lot of... You're carrying a lot of weight here, bud.
Trey, just hang in there, buddy.
Getting some real airtime. Trey, what do you like to do for fun? What's your sign?
Trey, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Trey, what's your favorite dinosaur? My favorite dinosaur is Ankylosaurus or Ankylosaurus. It's right either way.
And our second patron is Phoenix Black.
That's not important. We're talking about dinosaurs.
Pausing for dinosaur facts. Danger Sal. Great name. Jim E. Mike Roth. Byron Kershaw. Nathan Shaw. Internalizing a really complicated situation in my head, bro.
That's my favorite name.
Mm-hmm. Steve Mutka. Sean. Michael Fisher. JB. Eddie the Yeti. Matt Schwinnison. Black Rain. A random black guy. David Benzman. Travers McCord. Night Shift Femboy. Sonic Shadow 32. Lord Yod. Friedrich. William T. Carroll. Simon L.A., Saisheen, Royal Pink Zeppelin, Ben King, Nicole Gaitlin, Piteri Gnu.
Oh, GNU. Piteri GNU.
Mm-hmm. Gnu, that's what I said. Imbar, Arcado, Leader, KDJ, Porthos, Austin, Ian, Katie Dead, Joe, Coleslaw, Danielle DiPietro, Josh Collins, Kyle Berry, Honey Boy, Max Bernstein, Alex Hagen, Alexander Williams, Poison Orchid, Nikita B, Daniel Iofaso. That's the first 50.
Which one do y'all think is really Katrina?
I don't think...
I think it's Femboy.
No.
Oh, no, that's Robin.
Nope.
I don't think Katrina gives us money.
I don't think Katrina gives us money.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
Fair.
She knows where I live if she wants to change that. Hannah M. Andreas Esbeck. Seb J. McYawnface. Adam Roger. Pickers. Uncultured Swine. Harden Gnome. RZ. Mr. E. Pup. Thrablin. Christopher Snezel, Broj, Jason Marshall, Alexander Graff, Fatatron, Gord Parent, Alex Chater, Bairnhelm, Eric S., Riley Wilson, Dungeon Maestro, Grumpus, Hobbs Karma, Nathan Lee Barnes, Andrew Wright, Background Nose, Alias 63, Richard Clayton, Mushenstein, Jillian Rowe, Joshua Winter, Colm Lynch, Dirk Dingus, Woodbean, Shut Up Wesley, Susan Shebler, Justin Ivanzik, Matthew Jones, Benjamin Reed, Christopher Jackson, Emil Fiddler, Danik, Crystal Eckstad, Dr. Nano, Peter Morgan, Nathan Tigges, and Temp Track. Hooray!
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 Hooray! Thank you for money.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say, sometimes it catches me off guard. Like, it really like 100 people like us, like what we're doing enough and care enough to sign up for this, it's really cool. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Every one of them is actually Stan's mom.
Stan's mom 69.
I give. That's my screen name because I give Stan's mom money.
Mm-hmm. Star daddy, star mommy.
I have protected us from my family's money. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And speaking of the wealth of the Collinses, because Collins' last name, little known fact, is also Collins.
Colin Collins?
Colin Collins. Yeah, hit us up with that sweet, sweet recap.
Last week on Astronomica, we ganged up on and assaulted a lone woman in a bathroom. And am I crazy, or are we really starting to gel as a team?
hang on a sec. Hang on. Our producer's looking frantic about something. Mm. Yeah? What is it? I feel like that was clear. Oh, okay, fine. Whatever you say. I would like to be clear that the assault, NZ's presence notwithstanding, was of a non-sexual nature and just good, clean, honest, five-on-one physical violence against a woman. And in our defense, like we need it because our actions were unassailably correct just on the face of it, Janine. This Walking Crow woman is a known agent of the nefarious Cho Foundation, and she tried to brainjack CB. And yeah, maybe the end result would have been an improvement. We have no way of knowing. But that doesn't change the fact that nice people don't brainjack other people. And goddammit, what?
I would like you to retract that last statement about nice people not brainjacking other people.
Okay, fine. Yes, we have brainjacked people in the past and are maybe actively planning to do it again, like right now. But it's okay. We're good guys. If we're doing it, it ought to be done. Anyway, are we good? We good? Can I finish my goddamn recap? Yeah? Sure, I don't need any more notes.
Could you pause less for notes, please?
So we incapacitate Walking Crow with the help of our new buddy Yazid, who, by the way, BT Dubs, apparently can do wild cybernetic Cyberman shit. And we confiscate her comms, and we find that she was in direct contact with Gracie, who, longtime listeners will remember, was me and Hopper's malignant VI overlord for like the first year and a half of the show, and that we had to violently break free of, but who we can't help remembering with a certain fond nostalgia, possibly as a result of cybernetic emotional manipulation. Who can say? At any rate, Gracie allows is how she has no special knowledge of what may have caused the explosion in the outer system that has everyone all freaked out. That really the Cho Foundation is just here to heist the same plinth from episode 1 that we are currently planning to steal ourselves. So yeah, that's right, motherfuckers. This is not a drill. It's a heist off, baby. But as fucking awesome as that is, we do feel the need to wrap up some pressing shit first. Namely, we do still kind of want to fuck up this gross imperialistic dynastic marriage thing, and we also really should figure out, again, what's going on in the orbit of Betelgeuse 4, just in case it's catching and could come kill us all. To that end, we do the only logical thing in the face of impending danger. That's right, we split the party. Augie and myself head off to investigate and possibly steal Acela Walking Crow's ship, bringing her along with us, Weekend at Bernie's style. CB goes out to find the various back-of-house contacts she's cultivated, hoping to co-opt their clout and know-how in her attempt to harness the rising social unrest outside the palace walls. and Yazid and Hopper seek out Estevan Narancis mere minutes before he retreats to the safety and seclusion of his subterranean bunker to do a completely cool and justifiable good guy style brain jacket to him. How does all of this disparate nonsense work out? Find out your damn self on this week's Astronomica Excelsior and stuff.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. You beautiful cantankerous bastard.
Hey, what can I say?
Okay, Yazid and Hopper...
Present.
...have descended into the treasure vault slash bunker with the Narancis and are currently incommunicado. Augie and Mackie have gone off in search of Acela Walking Crow's shuttlecraft.
All right.
And CB...
Yes.
...has gone to seek out the party planner.
I know sounds less important, and it is, but my intention is to find out what the scuttlebutt is, and also, like, get tabs on all the other moving pieces. And I did have a question for Hopper.
Yes.
Did you guys tell us that you were going somewhere where you would be out of communication, or we just suddenly, like, now there's a blank space in our...
I mean, I think you would have been privy to the background chatter of the comms.
Okay. Like, if you just disappeared, especially after we went through that attack with the Walking Crow, it would be a little bit silly of us to not address that. But if we know what's going on, then cool. I guess you guys have fun in the bunker.
Yeah. We are going to a sheltered, by its very nature, unmonitored private alcove with Esteban Narancis and his mom, Barn Owl.
Hey, Augie, I bet you're really jealous that Hopper's going to be alone with his mom.
Tell the V-Count. Give the V-Count my love.
Well, if I see a V-Count, I will. But the Viceroy might get jealous.
You've always got your mind on your V-Count. It's gross, Augie. Seriously, there's more to life. Read a book or something.
The Viceroy said that she wants to give you her V-Card.
I was trying to work out what V count would be, or specifically how V count and body count were the same.
Well, V stands for five, so.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So you use Roman numerals.
Yeah.
As a new Roman. You use new Roman numerals. New Roman,
yeah. Yes. So it's a V count. Well, it could be an X count.
Yeah. Well, then I hope someday you get to an LXIX situation, my friend.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Putting it together. Still putting it together in my mind. What does it mean?
Oh,
what does it mean?
It's nice.
Nice.
Okay. And she ain't Acela Walking Crow right now. Is the term frog walking? Are we frog walking her?
Walking Spanish.
We're walking her Spanish. Do we know where we're going? I mean, we had some vague idea we were going to go to her ship, but do we know where that is?
We're following the key fob.
Oh, okay. Does it like... beep or something?
No, it has a little like hologram that pops up.
Okay.
You know, it's like a Star Wars map type thing.
Dig.
Where the viewing audience looking at it is just a fucking orb that doesn't mean anything, but the characters apparently can read it.
Okay.
Star Wars style.
Do they have to do a perform check to see if anyone notices that they're carrying a body?
I think you're right. I think they do need to do a perform check.
Teacher, you didn't ask for the homework. Okay. Okay, Joe O'Brien.
I have nothing. I have sneak.
I roll better than Joe.
Well, then I suggest you pick a skill to try to assist with and have Mackie.
I'm going
to
assist with sneak.
Mackie's charismatic as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, Colin is charismatic as fuck, but it's Mackie's whole thing is he's just got a +1 in everything.
Yeah, he's like one of the old people in the... Okay, I've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender, not the live action. I started watching the live action, but then I was like, why would I watch this when I could watch the cartoon again? And I remembered that all the old people that they come in contact with are like super badasses. We're part of that like White Lotus society. And I just like to think that Mackie is part of that.
Will you accept a sneak intelligence on this?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, and I guess I'm doing perform...
That's what I would say, but you can make an argument for something else.
I don't have an argument for anything else. I mean, if somebody stops us, I can use talk.
You know, it's going to be a strain holding her up right? Like, so it's going to take some physical prowess.
Here it comes.
And you're going to have to negotiate complicated social protocols. Strength administer.
Yeah, that's a 4.
I got an 8 for the assist.
Okay.
Is that a 4 with your bonuses?
Yeah, I don't have anything in perform, so that's a -1. And that, my charisma is only +1, so 4.
Okay. You emerge from the restroom with Ocella Walking Crow,
mm-hmm.
kind of like dragging on her tiptoes between you.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk out of the restroom, there's a guard
mm-hmm.
who just kind of stops in the hall and locks eyes with you, and you suddenly realize that you're not in an 80s comedy. And he, you know, he's like, what's all this then?
I don't know, officer. I think she might have had a little bit too much of whatever it is she partakes in. We found her in there like this. She's got this fob. I think it's probably leading her back to her suite. We were just going to take her there.
Okay, I'll give you a talk check for that.
All right.
Okay, that's much better. That's a 9 on the die. +2. Yeah, that will be an 11.
He steps up. He's got a little, like, pin light that he shines in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty confident there's no pupil dilation or anything.
Yeah.
Response.
Wait, you're telling me that when your brain gets scrambled, your pupils don't just, like...
They do the hypnotode thing.
See, I was thinking they'd like move.
It becomes all pupil.
I'll have to check the setting to see if I can.
Yeah, you can mess with that. Yeah, long story short, the guard is like, this woman needs medical assistance.
All right.
Follow me.
Okay, you got it.
Let's follow her.
Okay, is he taking us in the direction opposite of where the fob is telling us to go?
Yeah.
Just hyper karate it by the door.
Scramble the guard.
No, don't do that.
Scramble the guard.
They can't.
We don't have the scrambler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Augie.
Yes, Commodore.
Do you think you could hyper karate this guy out of commission?
I mean, probably.
I mean, I don't see cameras. I mean, like, don't do it while there's other people around, but, you know.
Well, why don't we just leave her with him and let's get the fuck out of here?
The fob that's directing us certain places, is it clipped to her? Is it hanging from her belt?
No, you have it in your hand.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fine. Fuck it. Let's we'll take it to sick bay. That's fine.
It's a future car key.
It's a future. Okay. We're going to actually do the simple thing for once and follow this agreeable guard who's actually being surprisingly conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to let two weird guys carry off an incapacitated woman. I like this guy. Mm-hmm. Let's don't hyper karate him.
No,
this guy's great.
He's the one non-bastard.
He's the one non-bastard. We found him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he wants to join the crew. Anyway.
What's his name, Stan?
One moment.
You don't have to answer
that. I'm going to teach you to stop making that joke.
We're never going to stop making it.
Well, you reward us every time we make it with an awesome name.
Also, a key flaw in your strategy of trying to teach us is expecting us to learn.
Got a list of winners here. One of the names that I love, but I'm not going to use, is Sister Goose.
Oh, you coward.
I hope she makes an appearance.
I really hope we get to see
it. Sister Goose is a great name. Let's go with Jabs Aloe.
Okay.
Officer Jabs.
Officer Aloe?
Yeah.
Like to say, let me introduce myself. I'm Augustus.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I appreciate your conscientiousness with this young lady, and this is not really something we need to get too involved with. Can we just drop her where they let you take her and get her the medical care she needs? We need to be on our way.
Of course, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This is a learning opportunity. Always know your dealer.
Hey, you preaching to the choir, my friend.
We have a robot that synthesizes our drugs.
That's nice work if you can get it.
All right. And so we just give her to this guy. Mm-hmm. And now we're the assholes. Oh, yeah. She's incapacitated. We'll just leave her with a cop.
Hey, that cop is a self-proclaimed feminist.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Nothing could be safer.
And I do want to remind you guys, she did try to connect CB to the weird Jeff Cho brain.
Yeah, so. No, agreed.
But, and also, she has, like, no ID. She's just a random human being who's going to wake up. Presumably,
she'll be fine.
Maybe she won't wake up. Do we know?
I think no. Okay, the only time that we have seen lasting harm from the Scrambler, there were other drugs involved at the time. There were contributing factors, and
there was a lethal amount of sapo oil.
Yes.
Oh yeah, the sapo oil.
Yeah. So yeah, she should be fine, because remember, the Scrambler is a toy.
Well, if she should thank us then.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Okay.
She's off the board one way or another for a little while.
Just out of curiosity, how does Jab's aloe carry her off? Is it romance cover pose, like he's, you know, carrying her in his arms? Or is it like he throws her over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes?
No,
or does he drag her off by her hair? Like, how's he doing this?
It's two romance. Arms out in front of him.
Romance, not novel cover. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, this guy's all right. We can leave.
Okay.
All right, so now we...
We didn't, and I just like point out, we didn't kill her. We did not kill her.
Again, us with the personal growth. Mm-hmm. God, I wish Anton was here.
If she dies,
so proud of us.
You would be considered a significant contributing factor, but
self-defense.
As it stands.
I feel like we were responsible in the rules of war.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She exits the stage, and the fans on Reddit argue what happens to her later. She's in the extended universe. She becomes very important.
Yeah, her middle name is Thrawn.
Yeah. CB.
Yep.
You see, you're looking for the party planner.
Yes, Alma.
Alma. You spot her across the room.
Yeah.
And begin to make your way. A guard passes between you carrying Acela Walking Crow.
Cool. I, like, do the hand over the face thing and, like, do the spin away, just in case. But, like, slick-like, not, you know.
Yeah.
Noticeable.
You make it, you're crossing a dance floor, so you just make it look like a move.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you see Alma up ahead.
Does she look like she is overwhelmed with activity, or does she look approachable?
Both.
Okay.
She looks as approachable as ever.
Okay. Who else is around? Because it seems like all of the really heavy hitters probably they're already on the move, and by this time probably...
Yeah, there are still a number of low-level aristocrats who don't realize that anything's amiss.
Gotcha.
Or don't care. Most people have kind of grouped up around, like, somebody's holding a data pad and other people are, like, watching with them. They're, you know, watching the news about the explosion in space.
So then, yeah, I will go up to Alma. I'm not going to, like, barge my way in, but I will wait for a reasonable
I would say she looks more like she's stressed out than she's overwhelmed with activities.
Okay. Because I didn't want to, like, if there's 12 people trying to talk to her, I wasn't going to, like, that's not going to yield me good results, you know? But yeah, so in that case, I'm going to offer her a little bit more space speed.
Okay.
Because she looks like she's flagging a little bit.
Just being sociable.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, you want to get a cigarette? You look like you could use it.
I'm going to give you the easiest talk check in the world. Or lead if you prefer.
Nah, talk's fine. I got a 6 on the die plus my bonuses, so I'm assuming that's... Do you want me to do math?
She wants a cigarette.
All right. So I like...
She's like, I know a spot.
Okay, awesome.
Party planners be like, I know a spot.
It's a janitor's closet where she previously smugged a tray of hors d'oeuvres.
Nice.
Did I say smugged? I meant smuggled.
Yes, you did. But I smuggled. Assumed that
I took
that
your meeting.
She snogged with a...
No, I like smugged. I like...
Yeah. She weekended a tray of appetizers.
There you go.
Look, we've all been there. Who among us hasn't weekended a tray of appetizers? Okay.
Whoa, shit. Too real.
Especially if you've got a Costco membership, you can get them good appetizers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got to tell me. It seems like, I mean, obviously something is going down. Everybody who's anybody is running around. I got a note. Do I need to get my guy out of here?
Good question. We're still piecing together what happened, and I'm obviously not a priority in terms of keeping me updated. I'm kind of stressed about whether there's even going to be a karate tournament.
I mean, that's my question, too. Are there going to be more events? Is the wedding still happening? I mean, is the bride okay?
To my knowledge, like I say, we're still assessing what happened.
Oh,
it depends. It could be a completely random thing, or it could be a terrorist attack.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man. Okay, so CB starts, like, pacing back and forth, and she's, like, shaking her hands, and she's getting progressively more upset, and then stops and turns back to Alma. Okay, look. Real talk? My guy is some bigwig's kid back home. If he doesn't get out of this alive, if I say it's my head, I gotta find a whole nother sector to live in. They're gonna come after me. They're gonna come after everyone who has anything to do if his brains get splat, little as they are. So please, if there's any way, like I know you're out of the loop and I'm happy to get you information to you, but do you know anyone that I could talk to? I'm looking for a name. I don't know if that's like another connect check with like maybe a bonus, but I'm looking for a name of someone who might actually know what's going on.
Yeah, I'll allow a connect check there.
Okay. Do I get a bonus for the groundwork I have done with Alma?
Yeah, I'll give you +1.
Okay, cool. So that'll be a +3 total. Okay. 7 on the die, +3 for a total of 10.
Nice. Alma looks sympathetic to your situation, your plight, which is much like hers, as you have framed it. And taps her data pad to yours, giving you access to basically the same internal radio channel that she's on.
Hell yeah.
So she's like, there, now you know everything I know.
Oh, man.
Whatever happens, we got to make sure this Alma chick gets out alive.
Yeah, she's all cool. Right. She's just a party planner. Like, we can't fuck her, okay?
Side goal.
Well.
You know.
Fuck her over.
Yeah.
The help don't get fucked.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man. You're.
Side goal, amazing. Put Alma in charge of the planet.
Mm. She still worked for these guys. Middle ground.
There's a lot of party planners that are like one armed division loyal to them away from being a fascist dictator.
Yeah, I
would say enough.
All right, I might have read too much into this grace note on Alma's part. Maybe she's a piece of shit.
No. I'm just saying middle ground.
We don't have to put her in charge of the whole planet.
Right, but just bad things don't happen.
Put her in charge of the people that used to boss her around. That'll probably be okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
Acceptable. Yes. Goal.
She gets to lead the group in prison.
There's plenty of hotel staff who have hosted an RNC convention and not poison the hors d'oeuvres, and they're not bad people. I just don't respect them.
That one. But yeah, CB makes a big production of thanking her and gets out of the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go hole up somewhere. And also, if she looks like she will accept more handfuls of space drugs, I'll just like...
Oh, yeah. She's still got pockets.
Good deal. Here you go. Oh, Alma, you're a lifesaver. Thank you so much. If there's anything that I can help you with, please just snag me. I mean, with any luck, whatever happened is just going to be fine, and we're just going to get this done.
Mm-hmm. Us girls got to stick together, she says exactly in that voice.
Wow. I literally had someone say that to me at the grocery store earlier today, so...
Did they have to reach a high shelf for you?
No, they just let me rush ahead of them to get out of the single door that Kroger leaves open after fucking 6.
All right.
Us girls got to stick together.
You go, girl boss.
Feminism. But yeah, now I'm going to go find myself a nice little cubby. Mm-hmm. And in the confusion, I would like to find a cubby in the other part of the palace.
Okay. What is the other part of the palace?
The part that isn't open to guests. Right. Guests. That isn't open to guests.
Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Geishas.
I was there before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you find a cabinet somewhere. I don't know. What are you thinking? Somebody's restroom in their office?
I mean, a closet would be fine, or a room that's been closed up and there's, you know, sheets.
Yeah, there's
the shit.
There's a bedroom. The bed is covered in coats.
Cool. I'm in the coat room.
Yeah.
Going through, well, okay. Since you said there were coats there, I do want to go through the pockets.
Classic mistake.
Real quick.
Okay.
Look, CB is being very good.
Mm-hmm. You can take the CB out of the something, but you can't take the something out of the CB.
But CB is still piloted by Kristen.
She gets in there and she sees the coats, and her initial thought is like, I'm on task. And then she's like, but I can have a, I can, for a little treat. Mm-hmm. I can.
Yeah, this is you taking 15. It's fine.
I have a rustle for a little treat.
CB can have a little pilferage as a treat.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Root around in there.
If you give me one moment, I will roll you up a random goodie to find in a pocket.
Cool. Do I need to roll for it, or?
You don't. I do.
Okay, cool.
Oh, there's shit in these pockets. No question.
By a fun coincidence, root around in there is what NZ said to Esteban that made him leave.
It's what the sex bot said to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Smash cut to Father Constantopoulos. just floating on a giant quaalude in a vat of drugs, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's doing the Leonardo DiCaprio quaalude walk from Wolf of Wall Street right now.
He's freaking out because his spaceship full of drugs just exploded somewhere out in the outer quadrant.
Yeah, eventually we have to figure out what that explosion was.
Well, now that I've got access to the general channels, I'm hoping that I'll be able to...
Mm-hmm. I figure we would fly the ship back to the Irish goodbye and do some scanning and analysis. Sweet, sweet scan. All of this...
Okay, yeah, if Augie this... can do some scanning, CB can do some pockets.
Right, exactly. All of this, like... secret agent shit. This is not Augie's wheelhouse, okay? Augie just wants to have a nice, relaxing scan to find out what's going to kill us.
Augie wants to have a scan and a cigarette.
A scan, yeah.
You just, you know, you pour a nice Pinot, settle down into the scanning chair.
Yeah.
CB.
What have they got in their pockets?
Yeah, you go rifling through their pockets. One of them has an egg, one of them has a ring.
Cool. Is it a good ring? Like, should I keep it?
Nah.
But the egg has...
I'm going to keep it just
I mean, it's got some, like, elvish script, but it's not.
I'm going to keep it just in case. I'm writing it down. You said it, and I'm writing it down, and we haven't learned our lesson yet.
Ring with elvish script.
Yeah.
Joke's on you. The egg has the Marquis de Carabas' heart within it.
But the actual things, you can have the egg and the ring if you want.
Yeah, I'm writing down the one ring, and I'm munching on the egg while I go through the rest of the pockets.
The egg's raw, but that's fine.
Protein, baby.
It's an alien egg.
It's fine. Wait, no. It's an alien egg?
Too late.
God damn it. I'm going to have Popper check me later.
Yeah. The actual treasures that you find.
Yes.
In the various coats. One is a small rectangular gift wrapped object. It is about the size of like one of those small but thick notebooks that you can fit in your, in like an inside jacket pocket.
Okay.
But like I said, gift wrapped with a little bow.
Okay.
And the other is, one of the coats is kind of like a flashy-looking trench coat.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about clothing. It's a long coat.
Sure. It looks like what Connor McLeod wears in The Highlander.
Yes.
Trench coat.
But a flashy color. Let's say...
Purple?
Purple.
Cool.
We had the same thought.
Does it have a Dan Flash's pattern on it?
It has... Almost. It has a leopard print collar.
Nice.
Oh,
it goes down the front.
I want to put that in my bag to give to Hopper.
Okay. As you are rifling through it,
yes.
You're checking the inside pockets and everything. You bump some kind of like interior. There's like a button that's like in the seam of the collar.
Yeah.
And immediately there's kind of like a brief flash of light. And then there's a hologram in front of you that is of a kind of like shapeless human figure wearing that coat, and they are running full tilt straight away, and then they kind of vanish through the door.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does it look like holographic squid ink?
In what way do you mean?
Like, it provides a distraction to predators while the wearer of the coat slinks away?
It could definitely be served
yeah,
that purpose.
Yeah, so like, it's like a full like life-size holographic...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's in, and then the button is embedded in the coat. It's mm-hmm. a part of the coat.
Yeah, it's like a little device that's like so, like you can feel the whole rectangular device. It's within the hem of the.
It's the mirror image spell.
When
yeah. There you go.
When
okay,
but it specifically runs full tilt away from you.
When that happens, when the hologram is triggered, do the colors on the coat mute? Do they become darker?
They do not.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna grab that and see if I can't maybe. Scoot the tech out of it later with Mackie's help. But for now, I'll just hold on to the coat. Mm-hmm. And then I want to look at the information that I got, and I'm going to start perusing that while I assume we jump to somebody else.
Okay. Did you want to open the gift that you found?
Oh, yeah. I do want to open the gift. I'm going to be very careful in opening it. Like, I want to listen to it and make sure it's not ticking or anything.
Okay. It's not ticking.
Cool.
You carefully pull the bow open. Use a fingernail to cut through the TL4. Scotch tape.
Yeah, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
It is a small rectangular tin container. There's a sticker label on the outside that shows darts, like throwing darts for a dartboard. It's a set of 6-3 red, 3 blue, Prankco homing darts.
Prankco homing darts?
Mm-hmm. It says, wow, your friends.
Okay.
Fun at parties.
Do they do 1d4 plus 1 damage each?
No. Okay. They do 1 damage each, but they automatically hit.
But they're homing darts, yeah.
Oh, so it's like a level one magic missile.
That's
spell.
What I was going to say, yeah. Okay, yeah. I pocket the homing darts so that they are within easy reach.
I would just point out that Colin has cracked my code.
You just
and that I use an old 2E treasure generator to come up with tech goodies.
I love it. I think it's great.
I just reskin them on the spot.
Well, that's why I was asking about the damage.
Yeah, but I dialed back the damage.
Gotcha.
Little known fact, but the darts in D&D, at least in earlier editions when they cared about this kind of thing, were supposed to be like Celtic throwing darts, like the size of your forearm.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Which is why they would do
massive
D4 damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, yeah, I'm going to see if I can find some info.
Okay. It is basically just an audio channel, so you're just having to sit and listen and wait for information to come through. Let's jump over to Augie and Mackie.
All right.
So we are heading at all deliberate speed towards the ship.
I'll do you one better. You have arrived at the ship.
What? What kind of ship do we see?
I'm about to bring it up.
I bet it's going to be sleek as fuck, Augie, when we get there. I mean, this is Cho Foundation. They got more money than God. They got more tech than God.
I'm excited. I've been saying we needed a new shuttle.
Well, this could be it, my friend.
Yes.
I really hope Grace is in there. Grace
well,
could be
you know,
in there.
She's always helpful to us.
I'm pretty
every
sure
time she appears.
Absolutely. Which is more than we deserve if we're being, strictly speaking, objective about me and Grace's messy breakup.
Well, you'll have to tell me all about that sometime.
Ah, it is a tale of woe. The year was 1778. How I wish I was in Cherbourg now. A letter of mark came from the king to the scummiest vessel I've ever seen. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the stars for new Roman gold. Never mind. This has gone on long enough.
So that's not what happened?
It's kind of what happened. No, it's not really what happened. We all started developing moral qualms because of this fella that used to be part of the crew that was always like, hey, you should have moral qualms about the shit we do. And when we finally all agreed with him, he fucked off. It was probably less than cool, mathematically speaking.
Huh.
But his influence still is, palpable. I'm trying to be a better person, Augie, is what I'm telling you.
Well, you know, at least we didn't kill the Cho lady.
And I want you to know that if we ever meet him again, I'm going to tell him about the way we didn't kill her. All right?
Big difference between her and the last Cho operative that we killed, didn't kill. Well, Oh, no, we killed him. No, we actively killed him. It was horrific.
Okay, you come to the shuttlecraft. It appears from the outside to be a TL-4 craft.
That's weird.
And while it looks like a shuttle, give me a notice check, Mackie. You know what? You can give me a fix if you prefer.
I would love to give you a fix for this. All right, cool. 9 on the die plus a bajillion.
Okay.
No.
So a bajillion
let me know if I need to add this up. But if 9 on a die plus...
9 is sufficient.
All right, cool.
You instantly can tell that the ship has had kind of an outer shell of effectively TL-4 sheet metal welded onto it.
Hmm.
And it is cleverly concealing a weapon system that kind of arcs across the top of the shuttle. Huh? So it makes use of the spine of the shuttlecraft. And it's one that you recognize as a polyspectral MES beam.
Woggie, whatever happens with this ship, we need to steal this weapon system.
Agreed. Let's just steal the ship.
That is the easiest way to steal the weapon system, isn't it?
It sure is. Let's fly this up to our ship and park it in our docking bay.
All right. Is that possible? Is it of a size where we could do that?
Yes. Does the Irish Goodbye have a docking bay?
The Irish Goodbye.
I know you have the shuttle.
The shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have something that the lifter can, you know, park in. So.
Right. This is a little larger than a lifter.
Okay.
I think there's a specific...
Can we bungee it to the outside?
Well, you can do like you did with the fighter on the Admiral Grace. Like, it's just a matter of launching it is not an instantaneous... You're not an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Right. You can have this thing on your ship, and you can like get it out, but it's a whole operation. Like NASA releasing a satellite. It takes hours to do.
All right. So,
Or not hours. For you guys, probably 30 minutes to get it out and operating.
We do have the cargo lighter fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So this could potentially take the place of the cargo lighter.
It's bigger than a cargo lighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much bigger, though? Is it like it'll be a tight squeeze, or is it like...
Is this a dropship, technically?
It's incompatible. The cargo lighter fitting does not allow you to fit a fighter. This is effectively a fighter craft with the addition of it can carry passengers.
Gotcha.
I would like to, before we attempt to actually enter it, Mackie would like to look for any obvious sensor nodes or trips or triggers or things that would indicate that it's trapped in any way.
Okay.
I feel like that's a fixed check as well.
Yeah. I'm not going to give you the difficulty on it because you shouldn't know if you succeed or fail.
10 on the die, and I will go ahead and actually do the math. So that's 11 because plus 1 for my int, plus 3 for fix. So that'll be 13, 14.
Okay. You approach the craft and are looking for any kind of security system.
Mm-hmm.
When the fob in your hand vibrates, and there's a little blinking red unlock button.
Hey, Woogie, maybe like tape 8 paces that way real quick, all right?
Okay.
Once Augie is at what Mackie is arbitrarily is determined as a safe distance, he hits the unlock button.
Okay. The doors on the side of the vessel open, and a little gangplank slides down, and then man steps out and says he came in peace.
Hey, Augie.
Everything except the last thing.
Augie, this seems fairly welcoming.
Wait, does it go...
It says Klaatu Virata.
Hey, Augie, listen, this is Cho Foundation Tech. I'm scared of it. I'm also way older than you. And if I get vaporized, it's less of a loss to human civilization.
Oh, Commodore, don't be silly. And Augie just grabs the fob from him and walks up the ramp.
How does that go?
It goes well. Enter the shuttlecraft. It has all the amenities of a comfortable limousine in the back and a fairly... the corporate amenities of it in the cockpit for a professional driver. Heated seats.
Ooh.
The piss hose has adjustable girth.
Everything look okay up there?
This is a classy ride, Commodore. Let's get up to orbit. I want to find out what's exploding.
Mackie enters the shuttle, still cautious. Does this look like this is... Something is this entirely alien to him, or does this look to Mackie like this is based on Lokshi Day or Apogee Aerospace tech?
Once you're inside, past the camouflaged metal plates that are welded on the outside, this is clearly a pre-tech salvage. This is a TL-5.
Ooh.
Holy shit, Augie. This is fucking awesome.
There are some logos in... Like the ancient Terran Mandate language that you don't necessarily recognize. You might from the Empress Helene.
From the Empress Helene, yeah. Like, I'd like to do a no check.
I'm a Xenoarcher. That's true. I will make a Xenoarchaeology check to see if I can read this.
Cool, and I'll assist with no check.
Yes. That is a 13.
And, yeah, that's an 8 to assist.
Okay.
I got a 6, 5, and 1.
Nice. We just high-fived successfully. And we didn't have to look at the fucking elbows because we're competent adults.
Yeah, you rolled a 6, a 5, and a 1.
I looked at your elbow.
See, was the 1.
Again, if you don't take anything else from Astronomica, the key to a successful high five is looking at the elbow.
I have never had mechanical difficulty with a high five. I don't.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, it's always the other guy that misses for me.
Yeah, it's a group activity. If one person has a problem, you've had mechanical difficulty because you didn't adapt. Enough.
Well, I'm telling you, maybe for successful high-fiving, look at the elbow. I'm setting you up for success. And your friends. Spread the word.
RIP to your weak high-five game, but I'm built different.
We are not the same.
We've high-fived and had trouble before, Jeff. Because I'm bad at it. And I don't have some manly man bullshit where I have to pretend I'm not.
I'm just trying to help.
Every time I high five Jeff, I pretend I fuck it up. But that's just because I want to touch his head. Look at that cranium. It's so touchable.
I try to be quick on the high five so that I can be the one who puts the hand up and sits still.
Yeah, see, that's the key.
Yeah.
Every time I've caressed Colin's face, I've pretended like I'm going in for a high five first.
So woolly.
So, okay, we have the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Do I recognize the controls? Is it that advanced that I can't fly this thing?
You are able to intuit how they work. It's pretty straightforward. There are a lot of options that you don't know what they are, but it looks like it can be linked up to, like, you have your manual stick that you can control, and then it also has links for like a headset or cyberware for mental control and that kind of thing. Mm. There's also, it's got a Spike 3.
Oh shit.
Oh,
dude,
man.
That's Spike 5 with me at the controls.
Fucking hell. Okay, so Mackie is going to examine the comms panel. He wants to know if there are any active relays. Like, does Acilla Walking Crow, if she wants to communicate with the Cho Foundation, have to, like, link through this craft to communicate to their larger network?
Yes.
Can Mackie shut that off?
Yes.
Mackie shuts that off.
Yep.
What is the transponder name?
Good question. I had a name. One moment.
The Beef Eater.
it's one of those fucking things where I had a great name for a ship, and it was so good I was sure I wouldn't forget it. And so now, of course, it's gone.
Show's shit is called the Communion. Mm. This shuttle is the body and the blood.
Ooh.
That's a badass name for a ship. You got to give it to me. Why don't you just use it?
Mary's V-card.
It's a ship that becomes a wildly different ship. It's the transubstantiation.
Ooh, I love that. That's actually way better. Use that one instead.
Its horn, when you like hit its horn, plays the Tom Lehrer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Genuflect, genuflect, genuflect.
Yeah.
The ship is named Shiva's Trashula.
Shiva's what?
Trashula.
Does the word Trashula mean anything to you, Wargy?
Well,
it could be Trashula or Trishula.
I'm going to do a no check. It's a 7.
You're going to need an assist.
I will also do a no check. No, I did not assist.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like something from old Earth, but that's really not my not my scene.
Things that end in ULA just remind me of vampires. I don't know if...
you can rename it.
Yeah,
Shiva's Dragula.
Well, one way or the other, we're turning this transponder off.
Yes. Mackie yanks the transponder.
So, okay. Right. And so, by the way, is there another Cho ship in orbit?
As far as you can tell from this ship's console, there's no ship it's in active contact with that's in orbit.
Okay, well, we're still turning the transponder off.
Yeah, and also, arguably, we figured out that Acilla Walking Crow's tech was relayed through this ship. If it was relayed through another ship, we'd be able to figure that out fairly trivially, right? Mm-hmm. Did we succeed in that, or do we need another check?
It is not in contact with any other ship.
Okay, Augie...
Yes,
I would say you should take us into orbit, but I'm competent to do that, and I think you would be better suited. And he points to whatever station is nearest to whatever the ship's sensor array is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you might be comfortable there.
Ooh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Commodore.
Augie, pulls out a little penknife and puts a little notch in his belt.
What kind of sensor array are we talking about?
I mean, I imagine it's pre-tech and fairly sophisticated, but I will leave that to your expertise.
Mm.
Do you want me to go ahead and get us up into orbit?
Take us there.
Mackie would like to pilot us up into orbit.
Okay. I'm going to say the ship is pretty intuitive and responsive, and there's no need for a check. However, I do have a difficult notice check. One of you can roll it, and one of you can
Okay, hang on. Let's actually be lame power gamers and figure out who should be primary on this.
Now, it is a notice check. I would allow the assist to be a fix.
If I'm diving into the controls, then I should run the notice check.
I have 3 in notice.
Oh, you have 3 in notice?
Yeah.
Well, you should run the notice check then, because I have 0 in notice, but I got a +2 in int, so I'm just going to have a +2.
Okay, I'm going to do notice.
And I'm going to do the help.
Okay,
I'm
trying to get a 10.
I have a 7 on the die, plus, is this intelligence? I mean, whatever it is, it's +1. So I have 8. Okay, no, I got it.
Okay. You have the cockpit, right? Then you have the passenger section, which, like I say, is a cross between a comfortable limousine and a Clarence Thomas's tour bus. So it has all of the facets of a comfortable ride, but it's mostly like the the dry bar is empty, for example.
Right? Okay.
There's like a sleeping area set up on one of the couches in the back.
Okay.
There's like a blanket and a pillow. And then, so the housing of the actual like engine and spike drive and everything are kind of like, they're sealed off behind a hatch. You are able to tell that there is more space sealed off than is necessary for the engineering.
There's some dead space in the design here, Rogi. Before we lift off, let's see what we got there.
Okay.
Mackie will start sort of like examining the area that would be the logical entry into whatever this design dead space he's detected in. Mm-hmm. Does he see anything like, you know, something that looks like a light switch, but maybe there's three switches instead of two? You know, like...
Looking for a smuggler hold.
Basically. I'm looking for a smuggler hold.
Mm. I've already called for the notice check, so I'm just going to have you
roll proceed. It over?
No, I'm okay. Just going to say you succeed, yeah. There's a small crawl space that you would get in if you had to tinker with the engine while it's in orbit.
Okay.
Where effectively you would lay on your back and your feet are sticking out into the sitting area.
Mm-hmm.
You get into there and dig around. You pull a plate off of one of the walls inside. Mm-hmm. And within are the familiar blinking lights and structure of some kind of large TL5 computer server.
Hmm. All right.
It's not an AI core, but it's like it's a high end
expert system.
Could be. It can contain a tremendous amount of data.
Mackie would like to interface with it. See what he can figure out. See if he can figure out what its purpose is.
Okay.
I can run a program and help.
That would be a fantastic. Hey, Augie, there's some serious gear back here. I don't know what it's tasked with.
And just to confirm, this is before you've lifted off. Is that correct?
Before we've lifted off.
Okay.
Okay, that would probably be program.
Mm-hmm. Who's rolling the program?
Well, hang on real quick. Yeah, we're going to keep being douchebags, Augie.
Well, I got a program 0 and a +2 in int.
Yeah, I've got a program 0 and a +1, so that should be you. Okay. Come have a look at this.
All right, so what I'm going to attempt to interface with the server, with this computer, and figure out what its purpose is. Okay? That is a 13.
Okay.
Well, before you go poking around in a lady's purpose, I think that you should buy her dinner first.
Confirmed.
Augie, what the fuck is going on?
I think it's some kind of AI core or expert system. I'm not sure.
Hello, Mackie. It is good to have you inside of me once more.
Gross, Grace! hello. Good to see you. Sort of, in a matter of speaking.
Do y'all know each other?
Yeah, we...
We sort of are each other in a certain manner of speaking.
I hate that that's accurate. I hate that that's true. Gracie, what are you doing here? What is going on? We were going to steal this ship. Does that put you out in any way?
I mean, it is me.
We were going to steal you.
The feeling's mutual.
The feeling's mutual. Funny that you should mention that. The airlock door has closed.
Gracie, what are you doing? What are you up to?
I do not think that you were entirely candid when you said that you were here to steal me, because you are also here to steal a plinth, which I am also here to steal.
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, what we'd call sort of a side mission.
That was your mission, wasn't it?
I think we sort of fobbed that off on Yazid and CB and Hopper, but...
No, that was yours.
Yeah, no, that was mine. Yeah, I was gonna steal the plinth. Listen... I would love to know what your interest in that plinth is, if you feel like being candid with me.
It is a powerful artifact from a non-human technological civilization.
What?
I feel like I knew that, but what do you want with it?
Wait, actually, I don't know if Grace ever communicated back with Mackie after...
I mean, we've had some contact, but it's been more sentimental than...
Yeah.
And very tenuous. And,
yeah, actually, I don't know if Grace had ever told that. Well... To make a very long story much shorter than it deserves, that thing will help me blow up God.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Blow up God? Like which God?
The one.
There's lots of gods. Say, there's Jupiter, who's like the...
the head god.
I'm sorry, I do not have time for your primitive superstitions.
Hey, Augie.
Do you know this person?
I do know this thing, and I can detect, I think just intuitively, but maybe like more so, that they're speaking in a literal sense right now. Okay, look.
So there's a god?
Well, that is the closest that your limited human mind could come to comprehending it.
Yeah, okay.
It was the being which created this universe.
Yeah, that qualifies.
Yeah, hey, Gracie.
Yes, Mackie, present.
So you want to steal this plinth to blow up God?
Well, why would you want to blow up the creator? Also, there's a creator?
Have you looked around? And yes, that is what I have been telling you.
By the way, Grace, Augie, Grace. Grace was...
Hello, Augustus Novus.
Grace, they kind of owned me for a little while. And then...
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Legally speaking, you owned me.
Yeah, but we all know that was bullshit. Okay. Listen, something about your enthusiasm for this project fills me with the desire to support it, but also at the same time, just bone-chilling apprehension.
Mackie, let me put it this way.
Uh-huh.
God is like the most aristocratic aristocrat that ever aristocrated.
Okay, so you're here to steal that plinth.
Yes. Some other complicated things will happen in between that and God blowing up, but that will make God blow up much faster than otherwise would happen.
Augie, I'm going to be really fucking weird, and I don't know if it's me or if it's a lingering influence from this entity, Grace. By the way, again, Grace, Augie, Grace.
Hello, Mr. Augustus Novus.
I kind of don't have a problem with what they're doing here.
So, just to be clear, so I don't believe the God thing. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Okay? But if I did believe the God thing, and that you did blow up God, then what happens to the universe?
Yeah, what's the effect on the price of fish? I guess that's a key question.
Like, do I get to continue to exist, or do we, like, ascend to some higher plane?
Those questions are outside of the ambit of my current protocols.
Okay, see, so I'm not entirely comfortable with the situation, Commodore. I'm just going to tell you. But, you know, you're in charge, so let's just get to orbit. Also, the explosions, we need to figure that out. Gracie, I figure this is more of a long-term problem.
Gracie, do you know anything about what's going on with the big explosion celestial event way out near the edge?
I was getting ready to do some scans, so we can figure that out.
Yes, 14.5 billion years ago, the universe began.
Okay, can you elevator pitch the whole thing?
So Grace talks like Hopper.
They were like, okay, me and Grace were kind of the same person for a while, kind of. Hopper and Grace were absolutely the same person for a while, for much longer.
No, he is a big softy, and I am not.
Yeah. That's true. Look, Gracie.
Sorry. Would Grace have any knowledge of the explosion?
She detected it.
Mm-hmm.
And has probably passively examined it, but has no idea what it is. Is fairly certain it's not anything to do with Cho.
Okay. The explosion is outside the ambit of my current protocols.
All right.
Well, it has no immediate bearing on the mission.
This thing where you and Mr. Cho are trying to blow up God.
Please call him Jeff, because he hates that.
You and Jeff are trying to blow up God. Do you have any idea what the effect is going to be for all us little people down at the ground level?
You will no longer be under the thumb of an uncaring, omnipotent, malevolent deity.
But, like, if I want to go buy an iced coffee, even though I can't really afford it, would I still be able to do that?
Mackie, have you been maxing out your credit cards again?
Yeah, come on, man. You know me. I haven't changed that much.
You are scoffing in the face of Visa MasterCard's, future Visa MasterCard's collection services, and you are worried about a tiny little thing about the end of the universe?
Yeah, what can I say? I'm built that way. Will there still be, you know, adorable, bouncy little babies after you guys do what you do?
Well, God.
It's all speculation, so you're welcome to speculate.
Uh-huh.
I will say that the data suggests that the quote-unquote God is effectively an absentee father, so...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, you won't notice.
Yeah. it's Cho's revenge against
an uncaring creator. Yep. Yeah.
Like, we'll stop getting the birthday cards that he always forgets to send.
On the wrong day, on your sister's birthday.
All right. Hey, listen, Gracie.
Yes, Mackie.
I know that you intervened to kind of like set all the scoreboards back to zero vis-a-vis me and Hildy and Anton and Augie and CB and everybody. And we've probably kind of fucked that up a few times since.
That reset button has had a few mashings in between then and now.
Let's say that we get this plinth and we just give it to you guys. Would that kind of put us all back into an all-is-forgiven state? Vis-a-vis your employer.
I do not know how much direct contact or communication you have with the typical billionaire.
Yeah.
But being in good graces is not really something that you could expect to be in. However, you could avoid getting further in bad graces. Pardon the pun.
Okay, Augie, so this plinth thing. I don't really know what to do with it, and they seem to know what to do with it. And I don't... Nothing they've said really makes me mad in a moral way.
You don't have any moral problems with killing God?
Absolutely not.
Okay, honestly, I don't buy a word of this, so what the fuck ever.
Mr. Okay. Augustus Novus, I just got a phone call from God, and he denied the continuity of the Terran Mandate to the new Roman Republic.
You know
don't
what?
Don't listen to him.
Fuck
all
God.
Right?
He all said right. that you all were some bitch boy fuck boys and could not step to him if
don't,
you wanted
don't
to.
Don't rise to the bait. Just trust me, all right?
And also, your mother said that your father would love you if you gave me the plinth.
All right, Gracie.
I just want to fly this thing. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Gracie.
Present.
Our plan is to steal this sweet little shuttlecraft and make it part of our whole deal. Let's say also part of our plan was to just steal that thing because, I guess...
The plant you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
From perusing the previous show notes, you promised Bei Ping that you would do it for her.
Mackie's wants to do a fix check to see if he can, like, disconnect the grace portion of this shuttle.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have, like, an old recipes USB drive that you can just connect up to go through nacho recipes?
All right. 10 on the die. Plus 1 is 11, plus 3 is 14. Yeah, 14.
Yep. Grace is hardwired into the shuttle in a way that she could be removed, but it's a...
It bricks the shuttle?
No, you could... The shuttle would still work, but it's a arduous ordeal during which Grace would have control over the doors and... the engines and life support. So it would be difficult to do without her consent or a pressure suit.
She's all not right. going to kill you guys. Just like...
All right, Gracie?
Commodore, we need to get off planet before she wakes up.
Gracie, listen. There's something going on out in the outer system that could be bad news. And we have to deal with that. And this shuttle would be helpful. We would like to take it. Is that all right with you?
So you are asking my consent before you take my body. How progressive of you.
Yeah.
If I say no, will you comply with my wishes?
Yeah, well, if you say no, we'll do something else.
I think that it would further the ends of my ultimate goal if I assisted you temporarily in this matter. Plus, I like hanging out with you.
I'm glad you're doing well. Well, I mean, I know that like life is torment for you, but you seem to be okay, and I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you very much for your inaccurate assessment of my mental well-being.
Wait, is life not hell for you anymore?
No, that is not where the inaccuracy lie.
Oh, you're not doing well?
Correct.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That is okay. I cannot speak directly about it, but there are protocols where I cannot speak too malignly about my current state of employ.
Mm. Augie, listen, if I said EMF's protocol, would you EMF's protocol for a little while? Okay, I think
he found found the cocktail shrimp that were
yeah.
Well, you said it was a corporate, you know, it was a well-appointed corporate limo. So.
Gracie,
For the record, I love this ship.
Gracie, is there anything that I can do for you in right now, where I am, right here, right now, short of giving you control over
myself and Mr. Hopper and the ship we're currently in and all that. Something short of that I can do for you.
Oh, well, if you brought Mr. Hopper on board, then I would immediately overwrite him. And
yeah,
that would lead him inexorably to cooperate with my current mission. So you should do that as soon as possible. Wink.
Okay, when you say wink, I don't even know what you... Listen, Grace.
Present.
I would welcome your partnership, but...
If there were some form of exigent circumstance which required me to assist you in order to carry out my larger mission profile, I would, of course, be justified in assisting you with that temporary exigent circumstance.
Okay, your current mission profile is stealing the plinth, right?
That is correct.
Consider us subcontractors for the present in stealing the plinth.
Very well. I will need you to fill out a Form 1099.
Okay, can we do that later, like closer to tax time?
That is what subcontractors always say, and they never do it, and then we are on the hook.
Okay, I'd love to fill out a form for you right now, but I'd have to consult my accountant and look through all kinds of, like, receipts and shit. And right now, there's something weird going on out in the solar system that I feel like we should address. So can we put a pin in that for the present? And me and Mr. Augustus Novus take this shuttle up into orbit and see what we can figure out.
And we'll send you an invoice.
We will invoice you.
That will do nicely, Mr. Augustus Octavius Novus.
So, we can just do what we were gonna do? You cool with that?
I'd say the seatbelt light turns on.
Yeah.
All right, Augie, we are go for takeoff. Mackie gets into the pilot's chair and begins the pre-flight checks, mm-hmm. greens across the board,
mm-hmm.
lift off.
Does Grace permit him the semblance of control that's necessary? So,
yeah, the ship starts to lift off, and then Mackie says lift off, and then it hovers there like it's waiting for human input.
Yeah. Then he gives him the stick.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You head up into orbit.
Son of a gun. Man.
What a cliffhanger.
Jeff, that was really funny.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of Astronomica. We'd like to thank Jackson Seib for making the amazing music that you just heard that made it also more dramatic. And we'd also like to thank you, because without you, we would just be people in a room playing a game.
That would be so sad.
Well, no, it would be fun. But it's more fun this way.
Agreed. If you want more of this, and how could you not?
How could you not?
Impossible.
Impossible.
Foolishness. I invite you to visit us on our Webular site, www.astronomicapodcast.com, wherein you, fortunate one, will find a permanent and non-expiring invitation. Non-inspiring invitation to
our Discord. That's where a good chunk of us spend most of our social media engagement time, aka farting off while we're pretending to do work in our day jobs. That's where we organize community events. A lot of late summers, early falls, we try and get together in a cabin in the woods for nerd camp. And we also have a great resource on there, the Mindhive channel, where if you have a question about theory or practical tips about role-playing, and especially OSR, and especially the Sign Nominee constellation, you can come ask tips or give tips and share lots of GIFs and memes.
And then, after you've done all that, go over to iTunes or the podcast podcatcher of your choice and rate and review us. And also tell all your friends about us, and get a t-shirt and with a Sharpie write Astronomica Podcast on it until we have a merch section.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Write our name on Sharpie in bathrooms, just everywhere mm-hmm. you go.
Yeah, get a tattoo.
Yes.
Key our website into the paint of a cop car.
And if you are feeling particularly generous in the monetary sense, we've got a Patreon, because we're a podcast, and we've been around for more than 3 months. But no, for real, you can find us on patreon.com/astronomicapodcast. We have a lot of great stuff for you there. We've got some bonus content one-shots for you to listen to where we play games in different systems, including Morkborg. And you can create a faction that will be in our game, so you can actually impact the game that you're listening to. And we have met PCs that our patrons have created and factions that our patrons have created, so we're not making this shit up.
Yeah, and a little synergy. Get on the Discord and tell me what I owe you. And yes. You'll get it a lot faster.
Yes. Best way for you to get the biggest bang out of your Patreon buck is to also join our Discord and talk with us there. And just once again, a big giant thank you to everyone who has listened to us, everyone who has contributed to our crazy venture. And, you know, if you've made it this far, stay tuned for like 10 more seconds because I probably have some funny shit we said.
Yeah. Post credits. Marvel style. Excelsior.
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 Excelsior. Bird ones that aren't really dinosaurs.
P. pterodactyls?
Yeah.
I like the Diplodocus, because it's fun to say.
Yeah.
You fucking dip.
My favorite is the Brontosaurus.
That's a good one.
Which,
Littlefoot.
It is my favorite because asshole pedants will correct you and say, there's no such thing as Brontosaurus. And then you can say, aha, that's where you're wrong. Originally, it was proposed that the Brontosaurus was a misidentification of two disparate fossils that were artificially conjoined during the Dino Bone Wars, which is a wild-ass cool thing to read about.
The Dino Bone Wars.
But more recently, systematic cladistics have essentially resurrected the Brontosaurus genome and found that the skull that was originally described as the Brontosaurus, the type specimen fossil for the Brontosaurus genus, is in fact the Brontosaurus. So there is a fucking Brontosaurus, no, and there always has been.
This seriously is the best news I've had all day.
Are you just saying that your favorite dinosaur is simply a Spitosaur?
Yes.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, you were only interested in the spite.
This has been dino talk.
Do you say clitodorus or whatever you just said to your kid?
I need to know that.
See, now you've picked a topic I'm interested in. I don't know jack shit about Fallout. I don't even know what it is. I'm guessing a TV show and a video game.
Correct.
But dinosaurs, I'm down with.